We got them screaming D-Lo, KC, D-Lo, KC, D-Lo, KC, D-Lo. We got them screaming D-Lo, KC, D-Lo, KC, D-Lo, D-Lo. We your number one spot. We your number one spot for some sports, huh? Got the city going crazy when we work, huh? We top two, but we ain't two. We in first, huh? And when you need the real, we is who you search, huh? D-Lo, KC, D-Lo, KC, D-Lo, KC, D-Lo. We your number one spy.
Let's go, baby. We're in here. Hey. It is the first day of the offseason, I guess.
Oh, joy.
Officially the first day. We're doing something a little bit different. First of all, we welcome you in here to the Friday, April 18th edition of D-Lo and KC. I'm Damian Barling.
The ultimate needle mover in God mode himself.
He's Kenny Caraway.
Yes, sir.
Acknowledge me.
And we are live.
Of
and by God, that's James Ham.
I'm in God mode.
What's up, Hammer? I'll turn your mic on, Hammer.
It's What's good. Happening?
James hanging out with us. We've given James his Friday back so he can have a life and go do dinner reservations and do all of that stuff. But we asked James to hang out here with us for a little bit longer so we could kind of put a bow on this season. Maybe a bow is the wrong term, man, but we could kind of just put an end to all of this. We haven't had an opportunity to talk with you since the season came to a close. Let's start. I mean, a lot has happened since we all sat down together. Did you have a problem with the way everything transpired over that, you know, 12, 15 hour period or whatever it was?
I don't know if have a problem with it as much as like, okay, we all knew Monty was going to get let go. Like, he addressed the team. You pulled him aside after he addressed the team. I think he knew he was on the way out the door. I think the Kings knew he was on the Kings players. Again, the fact that we were in the locker room when the news broke was awkward. It was very awkward.
Sure.
Shout out Jay Gaden.
I've heard.
Jay Gaden, just precious.
Real quick. What happened there? Not Jay Gaten, but the Kings didn't put out that he was fired, right?
No. Well, yeah, they did. The Kings
through Sam.
Yeah.
That's ridiculous.
Well, I that's like, if not, what are you going to wait for an agent to put it out and so it's their spin?
Well, no, tell the team before you tell Monty or something like that.
No,
like
Monty already knew.
The meeting that they had when they rushed everybody out, that should have happened before Sam Amick knew.
So. Well, goddamn.
Well, right. Maybe.
I feel like there's a lot there. I think Sam knew when we were talking to him.
The 17,000 knew.
Yeah, well, but that's the thing, right? Like, I think Casey's right. Like, at least in the little baseline sideline area, it sure felt like everyone knew Monty McNair wasn't going to be back.
I mean, he gave me a hug. As soon as that happened, I was like, oh, that's over.
James, so that's the part I can't, is why we all think Monty knew.
Yeah.
Why would he address the team that way?
Well, because it's the end of the season, and that's what GMs do, and you go in the locker room. And
hey, guys, I'm out.
No, you have an interim head coach, and you go in and you address a team, and then they go and they mutually part ways. I mean, the mutual parting of ways, that means that thing was set up, that they knew that it was going to happen.
Right.
And so just the weirdness of being in the locker room. And again, like I joke around about this, but just the moment was bizarre. Mm-hmm. Like, again, we had Devin Carter in the locker room. We had Zach LaVine. We had Domantas Sabonis. In comes Jonas Valanciunas walking in. You know, like, they're not dressed. They're, like, they're just got out of the shower. Like, everyone's in different stages of getting. And out of nowhere, Jake just sounds the alarm. Oh, my gosh, they just fired Monty McNair. And it's like, wait, what? He's, like, standing right next to me. Like, and it's like, oh, my gosh, it just happened. It's
wait.
Like,
hold on.
Like, wait, what?
I meant to ask Jake this yesterday. Can you clarify? Because this would take it to a whole nother level. Was Sam in the locker room?
No.
I was just making sure. Because that's the only thing that would make the story better. Is Sam's just off in a corner. The Kings are parting ways with Monty McNair. Or Malik Monk is toweling off in front of him or whatever. I guess he wasn't telling off. He didn't play.
Like, if we were at the break and we muted the mics, I'd tell you exactly the way that it played. But I walked out of the... Jake says that. I go, are you serious? Well, I know where I can get it confirmed. I walk out of the locker room, get it confirmed instantly, say hi to Sam, walk back in the locker room.
Sam standing. Oh, I can't take this. Never mind. I ain't going to say that out loud. Never mind.
So like, look, it's that one of those moments where you're just like, okay, this is weird. And then security walks in and like, hey, guys, get dressed quick. We got a meeting right now. They're like, not, and I'm not talking like an
security
usher.
Security walks in and removes Monty McNair. Oh,
no, damn. Monty's already gone at that point. So, oh, like, and you ask, like, the question is very specific. Like, am I okay? Like, I'm okay with Scott Perry being the new GM as well.
Sure.
I think it's weird to, like, get divorced one night and have your new wife, not even, like, girlfriend, your new wife move in the next morning. That's a little awkward and strange.
Judgmental James over here.
I'm just saying. I mean, that's just a little odd, but at the NBA level, I guess it happens like that sometimes. And, like, look, I really like Scott Perry. Mm-hmm. Like, he made, of all the front office people that I've dealt with the Kings, you know, again, I love Jeff Petrie, but Jeff Petrie would tell, like, snide jokes all the time and laugh at the jokes, and no one else thought it was funny. And he was just kind of really, really smart and really awkward. And it was like a lot of, like, you guys catch that joke? It's like, bro, I'm looking down at your shoes and you're wearing like hush puppies. So I'm not going to like sit here like you're wearing a linen suit like you do every draft day. So like there's always these moments though where like someone walks in the door and they just get it and Scott Perry gets it. Like I don't think I've ever had any of the people that they've brought in at this point like make such an impact on me as a media member where I'm like, oh man, I really hope he's here for a long time. And then when he wasn't, it was like such a bummer because it's a moment in Kings history where things could have been different because this dude knew exactly what to do.
Mm-hmm.
And everyone else in the course of my time here outside of Jeff Petrie, and then here at the end here, these guys knew what they were doing, but they just went about it in a different way. But I think the, like, we'll see how he is at making basketball decisions, but I think he's going to clean up like so many of the problems that they have internally, like right away.
Yeah.
Like just get it cleaned up. Like we're done. I'm so done with the chaos and the inability to like just do the basics. Like we shouldn't have to wait for like, again, like we all know Scott Perry's the GM. We haven't seen a press release yet. That was yesterday. Mm-hmm. Like, there's no press release yet. He has not been hired as a GM yet. He's a GM. Like, and it's just these things that they have to get right moving forward. And I think that, like, having an adult in the room and somebody who isn't looking to compete and to climb and all that stuff just has the job, to me, is a big deal. And the other thing I would say is, if Scott Perry's going to hire assistant GMs, let Scott Perry hire assistant
right.
GMs.
Yeah.
Let's not have a competition for who is going to be the GM and see if they want to take the job now too, even though they've never worked with Scott Perry. Like, have some continuity. Have some sort of like it's okay to have differing ideas, but have somebody that he knows and he feels comfortable with and can help him get the job done because the job here is massive. The job that in front of the Kings right now is so complex and so difficult, and to get out of the hole that they're in right now and to a better place, however they got here, which we just discussed on the Insiders, however they got here, it doesn't matter. They're here. So how do you get out of this place right here that you're in? And to me, he's a very, very good first step to get out of the hole. And I don't care what his track record is like in spots where the Knicks where he's sharing duties or Orlando where he's sharing duties. All I know is the moment he got here, he brought like a very sophisticated, smart basketball mind who knew exactly what he was doing and had control of the entire situation. And what happened next was just catastrophic, bringing in a guy like Brandon Williams to just mess up the entire thing. And we'll have to see.
One of the things that I'm hypothesizing when I say this, but could be a good sign for the Kings fans and Kings fans who and media and just people who follow who want Vivek to get out the way is potentially going to a guy and going back to a guy in Scott Perry may be a sign of going to somebody he trusts and somebody that he believes in. And he looks at it as, you know, I wasn't able to keep you around the first time, but I believed you were the guy that was going to help us before, and I lost you. I need your help bad. This is a mess. I need somebody in here that, what do we say all the time about Vivek? It seems like I need somebody in here I can trust, somebody I believe in. And you get Scott Perry in there, and maybe he looks at Scott Perry as a guy that I can allow him to do what he does because I believe in him. I believe in what he can do. I believe in what he did in the short time that he was here. It could be all nonsense. But going back to a guy instead of let me go to somebody that I don't know or...
And have to learn him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Going back to this guy that I believed in the first time. Maybe it's a good sign that he's going to fall back more.
I don't know if it's a sign he's going to fall back more, but it is a sign that he recognized talent when it was in the building. And that's not always the case. You know, like there are certain things that have happened here over the last 13 years that should never, ever, ever happen in a basketball organization where you're looking at things and going, I can't believe I'm dealing with this. Mm. I can't believe I'm standing across from somebody who's lying to me when they know that I know what they're saying is a complete lie. They know that I know, and they keep talking. And you're just looking at them. I have no respect. What I really would like to do right now is punch you in the face because what you're doing is so disrespectful, just lying to me when you know that I know it's a lie. And there are things that have happened here that, again, should never, ever happen. And that's maybe why I'm so excited to see somebody who actually knows what to do and knows how to handle the job. And this isn't a slide on Vlade or Peja. Those guys, to be honest with you, they were always super nice, and I always thought that their intentions were they had well intentions. But at the end of the day, like, that's not all the people that they brought in here. There are people that they bring in that building that are nefarious characters that have the wrong motivations, and I just don't feel like Scott Perry is one of those dudes.
Real quick, what's his first order of business?
Man, you got to figure out how to move you got to figure out how to move a major money player. And, you know, whether that's DeMar DeRozan or it's Zach LaVine, one of those guys has to exit stage left because this thing's not going to work with the two of them there. It's proven out in Chicago. It's proven out here in the last whatever games of the season where they're just a bad mix. And that would be order number one. And then order number two, you got major decisions to make on Keon Ellis, major decisions to make on Keegan Murray. Are these your guys? Are they not? Like, let him make basketball decisions that he believes that he, you know, because just because Keegan Murray was untouchable under Monty and Wes, that is not Scott Perry's fourth pick. Mm-hmm. And I think Keegan Murray should be a part of this thing. But I also think that Scott Perry should have the ability to make the decisions for who needs to be here and who doesn't, and then build around that. And then, of course, we got the Doug Christie situation hanging out there.
Yeah.
And I would like to, you know, again, I'll say the same exact thing I'll say about Scott Perry. Let Scott Perry hire his staff. Give Doug Christie a $4 or $5 million blank check and say, you go get the staff you want. You get every single dude you want. Here's the money. You go get them. And we're on board. Get out of the way. Do not bring in somebody else that you think can compete for Doug Christie for the head coaching job. Either he's a head coach or he's not. Either Scott Perry's a GM or he's not. That's it. That to me is as big a mistake as any that the Kings have is this whole idea that you can bring in people to compete with the people that you hired to do the big jobs. Mm-hmm. It's just stupid. Like, straight up, it's just bad business. And it might work in the tech world. It does not work in the NBA. And it hasn't worked for 13 seasons here in Sacramento. Get out of the way.
You might have said something that went over some people's heads right there. I just made note of it. We'll talk about it later, though. James is going to make the hot tag to Kyle Mattson. We'll come back. We're just getting started. It's D-Lo and KC.
I'm pulling his leg back.
You're on Sacramento Sports Leader, ESPN 1320. All right. It's basically the third hour of the Insiders here. It's the Super Merger. D'Lo and Casey. James made the hot tag. Kyle Mattson in now as we kind of just put a close to this Sacramento Kings season here on this Friday. I asked your partner this. I'll ask you. Do you have an issue with the way that that 12-hour period went following that blowout loss?
Yeah, mostly because it's I called it today the mirage of stability.
Mm-hmm.
It's everybody. Look, we have an idea. Look at what we're doing. Mm-hmm. Man, then why was Monty still there? What has he been doing? Why did he address the team after the game?
Mm-hmm.
What's there's no plan here. So yeah, I don't. It's not the end of the world. It's just evidence to me or breadcrumbs to me that they're heading down the path that they've been on forever.
Mm-hmm.
That. This, nothing's changing.
You don't trust.
I don't.
You don't trust it.
Why would I? Why would anybody?
Yeah.
And maybe. And I keep.
They got to earn it.
Yeah. Exactly. That's the correct phrase. Thank you. They have to earn that. Where maybe I'll be wrong. Maybe everything is cool moving forward, and the Kings are back in the playoffs in 2 years, and they're title contenders in four. We're like, wow, we go back to the day they fired Monty McNair. Wow, that was the day everything turned around. I would love to be wrong. But where we sit right now on April 18th, 2025, it's like, all right, buckled up for more of the same.
Yeah.
Yeah. We talked about it, obviously, at length yesterday. And I said, and I reiterate to you because I haven't talked to you about it.
Mm-hmm.
And the process just doesn't matter to me at this point. It doesn't matter. You know what I mean? I understand that it does. Like, you want to handle things the right way.
Mm-hmm.
But they had a search firm last time to get Monty McNair.
Mm-hmm.
And it worked 1 out of 5 years. What was your 5 years? 1 out of 5 years. And if they go about this the correct way and are a 33-win team for the next 3 years, I don't feel any better because they went about it the correct way.
Oh, right. It's all results based, mm-hmm. and ultimately the process doesn't matter. But for where we sit today, it's not. I'm not going to sit here and go. When Damian asked me, "Hey, do you have a problem with it?" I'm not going to go.
Yeah.
Oh, I don't have any thoughts on it. Like I do. I do have thoughts on it. I don't think they did it the right way. I think Monty McNair should have been fired a long time ago. The fact that they didn't fire him to me is a sign that they went, okay, God, we got to just make the playoffs this year. And that continues to be, it appears, the goal is just make the playoffs. It's not build a sustainable winner. It's not build a team that's going to make the playoffs every single year and take these steps towards being a title contender. It's just like, oh, God, make the playoffs.
Let me ask you a question.
And I just, ugh.
What's the difference between firing Monty McNair and firing Mike Brown? Because everybody looks at that situation as like, they shouldn't have done it, or it was ridiculous. You just signed him to a contract. How could you do that? Didn't they just sign Monty to a contract during the season last year?
Mm-hmm.
And if you fire him, say you keep Mike Brown and you fire Monty McNair, which is what everybody wanted, I'm just asking, what's the difference? It still looks a little crazy, right?
I don't quite understand. Sorry. If they fired Monty McNair midseason?
Yeah.
Because Monty McNair is not directly affecting what's happening on the court. Unless you mean, like, before the trade deadline?
Yeah, before the trade, in December. December 27th, they fired Monty instead of Mike.
Yeah, it's just not affecting the on-court product.
And I think you're far less likely to fire a front office member before the trade deadline. I said after the trade deadline, fire him today.
Yes, that's it. February 7th or February 6th at 12:01 or whatever.
Yeah.
Get him out of here. He's done.
So here's maybe an alternate universe or an alternate theory in an alternate universe.
Mm-hmm.
What if they did feel like they were, okay, he's out of here. Maybe they had a little bit more of a search than we realize. They clearly didn't talk to Scott Perry for the first time yesterday.
Well,
now we don't know the first time they talked to him,
mm-hmm.
but we know it wasn't yesterday. We know it wasn't the night before that. We know that they have it. We're smart enough to know how this works.
Mm-hmm.
Did they talk to Calvin Booth when he was let go? Maybe. Hey, sure. how you feeling about doing this again? Maybe mm-hmm. there's a few other front office people that they've spoken to over the course of the last handful of weeks.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe the search was a little bit more expansive. Maybe the search is maybe the wrong word. Maybe the conversations were a little bit more expansive than we realize.
Okay, and I don't disagree. I don't think that's crazy. But then why was Monty McNair still in your building?
No, I hear you.
I literally think...
To be clear, I don't think that that happened. That little universe I just presented, I don't think that that happened.
You don't think they had even internal conversations about a search?
Internal? Yeah. Oh, absolutely.
And when Vivek
talked about it a lot.
And when they all said... yeah,
that.
Yeah.
That.
And when they said Scott Perry was the guy, like, go get him. Like, I don't think that's a problem.
No, what I was proposing is that they talk to Calvin Booth. Not about Calvin Booth, or talk to executive.
Where did Calvin Booth's name come from? Because his name came up in reports.
In The Athletic.
So you think people just did it because he was available?
I'm just naming names. Like,
well, but his name did come up in a report.
His name was in Sam Amick's report.
Yeah, they said he was in consideration along with Scott Perry.
And that there could be a variety of reasons that that was said. Because when Sam's article went to the New York Times, you kiss my ass if Scott Perry wasn't already hired.
Mm-hmm. Facts.
That article went up like, what, an hour after the game? Like, they already knew Scott Perry was the guy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, absolutely. Like, the Calvin Booth thing could have been a favor to an agent, could have been a favor to Calvin, could have been a lot of different things. So, hey, no. Remember, Calvin Booth is available. He's a commodity out there. There could be teams looking for general managers, front office people. Remember, Calvin's out there. It could have been simple as that.
Yeah. Yeah. The and again, this goes back to, this is where the process does matter. Because, like I said, my problem is not hiring Scott Perry when they did. Because if there's a belief that he's the guy, cool. Like I said, my issue is not Scott Perry. He might be great. Would love it. That might be the case. My problem is, Dave, no, when do you think Vivek made up his mind that Monty McNair was going to get fired? Like, realistically.
Somewhere, like, I think it was in the vicinity of Christmas. It was in the vicinity of Mike Brown.
I agree with you.
He decided Mike Brown was gone.
I agree with you. Yeah. I agree with you. Then why, then after the trade deadline, if you want to, I get why you want to keep your GM through the trade deadline. Okay, that's fine. But after the trade deadline, why is he not gone?
No.
And it's because, in my mind, it's because they had won some games with Doug and they fired Mike to save their season. And by keeping Monty McNair on, it gave this, again, I'm going to go back to the mirage of stability, that, oh, look, everything's cool. We're going to go to the playoffs. We're not in dysfunction. We're not firing GMs. We're not doing all that. We're going to go to the playoffs. We're good. It's like everything is about the immediate and nothing is about the long term. Everything's about right now. We need to make the playoffs right now. To hell with the next 5 years. Forget to hell with next year. We got to make the playoffs now. And I think operating that way put the Kings in a worse spot than they would have been in had they just pulled the plug fully in February and been like, cool, if we wind up losing games, whatever, this needs to be rethought and rebuilt. I think right now, again today, I could be wrong. I could definitely be wrong. My opinion is that I think the Kings believe that this roster is a couple of tweaks away from being in the playoffs, which is their goal. I don't think this roster can win a title. I think that they just want to make the playoffs again. And okay, we're really close with this group to making the playoffs. How do we get six more wins out of them? I think that is still their goal.
Is that wrong, though?
Yeah.
I don't think that it is. Like, couldn't that just be a stepping stone? Like, all right, we've figured out how to.
Their best player is 30. Their second best player is 28. Maybe their second best player. Domas is 28. There's not a lot of runway here.
Who's yeah, but you can still. Player? Is it Zach? You're talking about Zach.
Okay.
But you can still do those kind of things.
Sorry?
And take steps towards the future, right? Like, so. For instance, like you, I don't think you'll be able to trade Zach LaVine and Sabonis.
I agree.
So I don't know if there's any point in surrounding them with G Leaguers because you're not going to, like, these guys are kind of here. They're mm-hmm. here. So let's try to have the best team we can. Now, along the way, you want to start getting assets. Mm-hmm. You want to start getting some young players.
I agree.
So when you're able to move those guys, then maybe you had a jump start on. Maybe it doesn't have to be a full rebuild or something like that. But in the meantime, like, these guys are here. This year, these guys are here.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, try to put a team around them that could be a playoff team, but that doesn't have to be your five-year end goal for this team. And I think that's Scott Perry's job is to, hey, let's see what we can do and build the best team that we can for what we have this upcoming year. But let's start to get some assets. Let's start to get some. They won't have their draft pick, but whatever young players you can get, maybe you can. I'm just throwing a name out there. Maybe you can get Jonathan Kuminga. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And start to have that place.
Just go full two timelines.
Well,
that failed?
But the whole point is, like, what else are you gonna do? If you can't get rid of those, if you told Scott Perry and Vivek, hey, you can get two top 10 picks this year for Sabonis and LaVine, I think they would do it.
Mm-hmm. But like, they can't.
You can't.
You're
so
right.
What do you do?
I think you're right. I don't think that's good, though.
No, I don't know if it's good either. It's just reality.
I'm sorry. I did not listen to all 4 hours of your program yesterday.
Wow.
Hey, it'd be your own people, bro. It'd be your own people.
Anyone else? Jesse? Good? Just me? Okay. So, I don't know. But you talk about, okay, you build around Zach LaVine and Domantas Sabonis and try and pick up assets along the way. Like, that doesn't work.
I don't even know. But there needs to be a different – you're not building for this long-lasting franchise with those two. You have them right now. And maybe you're building for a year. Maybe use that. You're not
and
building.
That's why the Zach LaVine thing sucks.
Sabonis might suck too. Not the player, but that situation might suck too.
It does. But that's why the Zach LaVine trade sucked. And that's why we keep bringing it up. I think you lead the league in about to say a thing I disagree with, but then making it a thing I agree with. But no, I agree with you, like, on the Vivek front, that he went to hell with Monty McNair. I want Zach LaVine in here. The reason we keep harping on that is because of this. Like, that puts him in a really bad spot, because now they have to build around, all right, Zach LaVine's here, I guess. Domantas Sabonis is here, I guess. All right, let's see if we can make this a playoff team. Ugh. That just, I would way rather not have Zach LaVine right now. And I would way rather be in a spot where you're like, all right, you got your pick. You'll see if you can trade these guys, and let's see if you can find a new core. Because right now their ceiling is about what we're talking about. Like, hey, can you make the playoffs and maybe win a round? And I know that's a nice thing for now for this team, but I think it's got a very short shelf life. I don't even think it's guaranteed. Like, their floor is just high enough to be a play-in team, I guess. But I think their ceiling with Zach LaVine and Domantas Sabonis on the roster is just very, very low.
Let me ask you a question. Both of you guys a question. I'm not saying I disagree with you guys. I'm just asking a question because I want to know the logic behind it. What would be the point of firing Monty after the trade deadline?
You don't need him. Like, to do
but,
what?
But why? But what does firing do? What does it do? I'm just asking, like, what does that do? It's almost a mirage of we're fed up. We're pissed off. Like, it ain't doing nothing.
No, right. And it's a mindset thing. It's not, at least for me, it's the reason they didn't fire him is the problem. Because I think they didn't do that because they went, oh my God, everybody, we just got to make the playoffs this year. And oh my God, we just got to keep him around. Like, all right, man.
I think what you said before is more so what it is. It's like, we don't want to look like we're completely chaotic.
Right.
Which is
right.
A mirage of stability.
Mm-hmm.
But firing him, in my opinion, would be fake hustle. Like, what you fire him for? Like, he
you're firing him because you're going to fire him.
Yeah, you could have started the process of hiring Scott Perry or whoever then.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I don't think you were going to hire him during the year. Like, you weren't. That's my
Well, why?
I don't think you were hiring Scott Perry during the year.
Why?
Are the Denver Nuggets a good organization?
Sure.
Sure.
They had no problem getting rid of Calvin Booth 3 days before the playoffs started, or a week before the playoffs started. They didn't wait till the end of the year. They said, we're done with this guy. He's going to be gone because we're going to have a new front office, so you're done here. keeping Monty McNair around was.
And there's very. I think the thing.
I don't know why he was here.
Very literally nothing for them to do. That I said that. Like, there's nothing left for you to do. You can go. If this is just fire him.
And
ultimately, you did it. Now, I don't know why you can't hire Scott Perry in the middle of the year, or if that's your target.
Maybe you can.
I don't know why you can't.
No rules or nothing like
that. Yeah, like you could hire whoever you want to. Like,
mm-hmm. Yeah, get a head start. If you're hiring, especially, you're doing.
I take that back. You can hire whoever you want to if they're unemployed.
Yeah.
If they're employed, you have, you know, different hoops that you have to jump through. But in the end, it's the same. In the end, the result is exactly the same.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's
and
that's
your,
it.
Your
and this
search
is
was already started anyway.
Yeah. The.
And maybe that's it. Sorry, Kyle. And maybe that's it. Mm-hmm. When we're talking about why is he here, fire him. They did. Mentally, he's fine. It's not like payment stopped. Right. Like in their head, he's like, he's gone. Like, no, you can sit here. You can show up at games. You can wear your little vest. You can walk around the courtside with Alvin. You can do all of that stuff. In the end, we're firing you. And mm-hmm. we're having me, because I'm Vivek. And Vlade, because he's my trusted confidant, we're having conversations about who's going to replace you. So we're going to call the only person Vlade knows, and that's Scott Perry. That's why I'm of the belief they talk to no one else. Scott Perry is the only guy Vlade knows, so that's who they called.
I think a stable, healthy organization would have fired Monty McNair the day after the trade deadline. Or as soon as they knew that he wasn't going to make any more moves for them. Like, all right, you're done. And that's the problem. It's not like firing him, they would have won 48 games all of a sudden. This is not that. This is just my problem with how they've gone about this is that they waited until the end of the season to fire. It's like, why?
Well, I wonder.
I don't. It's just weird. It's just weird. It's just more evidence for me, again, because the Kings get no benefit of the doubt at this point.
But how many people get front office people get fired during the season? I mean, we know Calvin did. Mm-hmm. There's a unique story behind that.
Which we say Denver is stable. They got raked through the coals, and rightfully so, for that move.
Well, clearly their leadership wasn't stable. The reason they were fired is because these two were fighting with each other.
Yeah.
They were fired because
that's a unique situation.
You're making the entire company on edge.
Yeah.
You're the leaders of this company. We don't often look at it like that. Mm-hmm. We look at it as basketball. No, you're the leaders of this company. We're talking medical staff. We're talking PR staff. We're talking all of these different entities that are involved in the Denver Nuggets organization. You're making everyone miserable. You're both fired.
That's fair. That's fair. It's a different situation.
With front office, I feel like. You're inconsequential. You got through the trade deadline. You screwed up. We're firing you. We're not going to do it today because it's completely inconsequential. Yeah. We don't need to make our next hire today because there's literally nothing for them to do.
Right.
There's no trade for them to execute. There's no draft picks for them to scout. They're going to be doing that anyways. And there's no free agents to go sign. We'll just wait.
That's and then fair.
The day after the season.
No, not the day.
The night the season ends.
Well... Yeah, you get blown out by 20 points on your home floor. You're going to get fired that night.
We did say that yesterday.
So you guys think, again, I didn't listen to all 4 hours. That's my bad. Flag on me. So is that do you guys think that if they had lost by two, Monty McNair would have been fired the next day?
Yes.
The next day, yeah. We asked that question. We said if it was a 5-point loss, does he get fired that night? And we don't think so.
Yeah, I think he would have been fired the next morning.
Dang.
Or I'm sorry, the firing announcement would have been made the next morning.
Yeah.
Hmm. Unless Monty just said the hell with you guys and told Shams that they got it out there. Or Monty's agent told Shams. I'll ask you what I asked your partner a minute ago. First order of business for Scott Perry is what?
Jesus. I think they have to... And again, I know this is going to make some people upset, but please understand where I'm coming from. I think they have to move on from DeMar DeRozan. That is not a fit here. At least I don't believe that that's a
long-term. I love that you said this is going to upset some people.
They ain't gonna upset
it's
going
to upset some people.
No, it ain't going to upset me. I like DeMar DeRozan, but I said that's the first order of business. I just always loss wasn't his fault. That's all.
No, I agree.
That's all I would say.
No, now that we're post after the season and stuff. I said this on the show today on the Insiders, 10 a.m. to noon, right here on ESPN 1320.
Great show.
I said this today. The someone said something to me online that really rubbed me the wrong way. So I want to make this clear. DeMar DeRozan, the player, and what he was doing was not the problem. What he was doing within the scope of what the Kings should have been doing or what the rest of the players are good at didn't work. DeMar DeRozan individually was brilliant. If you picked up this DeMar DeRozan season and put him on the Rockets are better because the Rockets stink at scoring in the half court. And if they had DeMar DeRozan on their team with Amen Thompson and with Tari Eason and with Jabari Smith Jr. and Alperen Şengün and all these dudes that are just rangy and they play defense and you know what? They're not super offensively gifted just yet. DeMar can carry that load for him. The season he has impacts them differently than it would impact the Kings, even if it was the exact same season. Mm-hmm. Does that make sense?
Yeah, absolutely.
Absolutely. So I know that we, James and I specifically, we went at DeMar a lot, but that was stemmed out not from, man, he's not very good. It was stemmed from, A, maybe the more effective way to do this is A, B, and C, and that's just not him as a player.
And that's fine. My whole thing was, like, the playing game kind of highlighted it. Like, it wasn't always just like, I don't care what's going on, I'm a shoot. He would give these guys the ball and they wouldn't do nothing.
The one where
we'd have to get points somehow. Yeah,
that's fair. That's and I said that yesterday. I tried to find good things to say at the top of the show.
Good job by you.
Thanks, man. And it was so clear. He went, all right, I'll do it. That's fine. The one where, dude, the one that got, and I don't mean to bring up old stuff, but the one, we were standing out there watching this together. It got to Domas, $45 million All-NBA center, Domantas Sabonis, gets the ball on the block with like 3 seconds left on the shot clock and does this. Does the step out and like, where do I pass it? Like, brother, shoulder in and turn around and shoot it. What are we doing? Oh, God.
Bro, two of those guys are trying to get back on the defensive end because there's 3 seconds on the shot clock. No, nobody's cutting, sir. Shoot the ball.
They got it to you because you're closest to the hoop. Gotta shoot.
And then got mad.
Yeah.
And then got mad at everybody.
Why aren't you guys cutting?
Oh, man.
Oh, dude. But yeah. No.
Well.
Shout out to DeMar. He's a Hall of Famer and a legend.
And he will be gone. And that will
almost
be neutral.
Certainly.
It ain't one road street there. That's he feel the same way.
You guys are at Cache Creek next Thursday.
Ooh,
probably shouldn't mention that.
Ooh,
I can mention it. Like you guys are at Cache Creek next Wednesday. Like,
well, you can't. Thanks.
I know, maybe not. maybe won't give too many of the particulars. But you're doing a watch party for the football league.
If you'd like
the football league,
so, yeah, because we can't like
right.
brand it. So the top American football league in the country is having a draft.
Yep.
And we're all
XFL
we're doing
having a draft
and,
during the season. That's crazy. Together.
I think it's the. Yeah. What's it called?
USFL? UFL? UFL?
UFL. That's UFL. It. It's the UFL. The United Football.
We've had AFL.
The BFL.
The AAFL. USFL.
Yeah, the AAFL was crazy. Like the two
That
A's.
Was the worst one.
Yeah, the two A's. Come on.
The debut game, I think, was on during Kenny's baby shower.
Does anyone...
It's awful.
Is that a
during the baby shower?
Yeah, it was on during.
Was during the NFL season?
The AFL season.
Because that day, that
there
day
was
a,
it was
49ers
it was one of the. No, it was one of the. It was one of the like.
Was it the wedding?
No, it wasn't the wedding. I think it was pretty sure the baby shower.
Forgettable league though.
Dude, the
baby shower wasn't. We were on the water.
That was crazy.
Kenny's lake.
Do we want to go to?
It's
break?
Not my lake.
I don't know. Do we? It's do we want to go to break? Probably. I don't know. Kyle
Up
wants
to
go
guys.
Home. Let's go to break.
No, I don't. I have something to say.
Oh, never mind.
We'll go 58 then.
We'll go.
We'll go to 58?
Yeah.
Okay, cool. I didn't know you guys did breaks on this show. Sorry.
We don't. That's why I'm asking.
Only when I'm paying attention.
Yeah, when Kenny takes
only
us to break.
Only when I'm locked in.
Only when Kenny takes us to break a minute and a half before we need to.
Hey, honestly.
We either go to break a little late or 2 minutes
dude,
early.
Okay, so that's it. So in the back of my head, I had Matt Nahigian. I saw that clock go to 44, and I had, just take it to 58.
Yep.
Just go.
Yep.
So that's why I was like, oh, okay, we're just going. Yep. So. And now I can't remember what I was going to say. That's tight. Oh, So the spring football leagues. Mm. There's nothing in sports more fraudulent than anyone telling you they're enjoying spring football. Those leagues are terrible.
Awful.
That is not
good. They're a waste of time. They're a waste of time.
The goal of those leagues, the goal of people who tweet about those leagues and write about those leagues, is to let everybody know how much I like football. There's no chance they're watching that like, yeah, this is great.
It is awful.
I love football as much as I do a podcast about football. I write on a website about football that takes up so much of my time. I spend so much time watching and caring about football. When the spring football leagues come on, whether it's the AFL, the BFL, the CFL, the DFL, or otherwise, I cannot care even a small amount.
What's the it DFL? Is,
whoa, wait, huh?
I'm just asking. I'm asking what the DFL is, Kyle. The
Detrimental Football League.
Okay. You know what?
Developmental Football League, I meant. Developmental.
By the way, since we're all here, let's
we
check
have not
in.
Talked about the fact that it used to be called the D League.
Let's. Well, speaking of, here's Brian Winters.
You need to relax, Madsen.
LeBron and Austin Reeves can fit together beautifully and be a competitive group, and they can share each other's load and also show that they can fit together.
All right, yeah, no.
Jesus,
nah.
Brian, there are children!
Hey, hey, hey. Hey, bro.
That's disgusting.
Hey. Hey, come on, bro. Settle.
Sick. You're sick, Brian. You're sick.
Who's man's?
Them old DFL.
Who's man's?
That man was on national TV.
Oh, Malika should have had a flag ready.
Do you have that video? Can we run that video back? You can mute it if you want.
No, we'll run it back.
Run it back. Watch his face. He knows exactly what he said. Watch Brian Windhorst's face.
Is obviously Luka, LeBron, and Austin Reeves.
Yeah.
Watch can fit it. Together beautifully and be a competitive group, and they can share each other's load and also show that they can fit together. Is obviously Luka.
I paused for
You see, no,
he's got a little giggle. He's got a little grin here. You're right.
As he's winding up, he's kind of.
It's a pause that he's. Oh, they're going to get me for this.
Yeah, he pauses before he delivers that line.
They're going to
and
get
they
me.
Can. Share each other's. It's like
also so me. They can fit beautifully, and be a competitive group, and they can share each other's load, and also show they can fit together.
The pause is tough. He's like, once he got share each other's,
he said, "I can't."
He's like, "It's
say
too late."
Different.
It was like I'm stuck.
It was like he realized like workload, but he already had the word coming out.
You can almost see him going, "Oh no! Oh no! Oh no!"
Real quick on the football thing. You know what the move is? And I don't know if the NFL, funds this league or whatever. But what could work, like regular football, ain't going to work. Like we've got 40 years of these random leagues that just die out.
You
want to
watch it so bad, go watch the CFL.
Do that. Luckily, Trey Lance won't be there. But
not yet.
What the move is 7-on-7s. If you have a 7-on-7 league, I think it'll do way better than any of these leagues. Remember the summer, and I don't know why they did this. Remember the summer the NFL Network had the flag football league? They broadcast. Oh, it was popping.
You know, flag football is going to be in the next Olympics.
Mm-hmm.
I'm watching that.
If they had.
Oh, yeah.
Yes. Yeah, see? Yeah. You're watching that. Yeah. You're not watching the UFL. But if I told you, they got the Flag Football League starting on Sunday, I'll check that out.
You think you can big three that thing? Like, do it a big three type where you get whatever, but like, hey, Dalvin Cook, like, you're not in the league anymore. Come over here, play 7-on-7 now.
Maybe.
Sir, Dalvin Cook is on the Dallas Cowboys practice squad. You bite your tongue.
Is he still?
No, probably not.
You might be able to, but the 7-on-7s be popping. The kids love them.
My problem,
kids AAU. That's their AAU.
My problem is I don't think I have the brain capacity to care about more stuff.
Oh, that's why I don't watch hockey.
Like I used to love the Sharks. And I used to love hockey because the Warrior season was over in January. So it's like, all right, well the Sharks are good, so Sharks took precedence, right? So I used to love hockey. I cannot follow that sport for the life of me.
Yeah, it's just
I want to get into soccer really bad.
Yeah,
I've tried. Like, I like the sport. If somebody's got it on, if it was on right now, I'm not going to wake up at 6 a.m. on a Sunday and lock into Man U.
Like I said, they only got 3 weeks because then football season starts. And I'm not tapped in.
Well, James Hamm does that. He gets up in the morning. He watches the Premier League into NFL Sunday. And it's like, that's tight. That sounds awesome. I'm not doing that.
No. I'm absolutely not doing that.
Can I tell you the happy thing that I might be wanted to talk to you about?
Is it that the Knicks have a 73% chance to win this series against the Pistons? Because that feels very high.
Not very high. It's 65.
It feels pretty high considering the Pistons have a winning record.
65 at the lowest. 65 at the lowest.
Go 55-45.
70 sounds about right. 70 sounds about right.
Oh, God, I would love if Detroit won that series.
They might. Like, we know how the Knicks do against good teams.
Yeah, it's that's facts. You stay claim to them early in the year.
They don't beat the top three teams. They handle the Pistons.
They don't do very well against teams over 500.
Although the Pistons got them a couple weeks ago. Pistons got them a couple weeks ago.
That's interesting.
We'll see how that goes down. You were having a discussion about people who were like, I'm done with the Kings, I'm leaving.
Mm-hmm.
And you're like, it just doesn't work that way.
It doesn't.
Like, it just doesn't
No matter how bad you want it to.
And I'm reminded, and I wanted to talk to you about it because I know you remember this. I'm reminded of how volatile, how crazy it was. When the 49ers had Chip Kelly and they were in Levi's Stadium, how many people did you listen to, talk to, tweet to who said, I'm never going to Levi's. I'm done with this team as long as Jed York is. Jed York will never win.
The first time I saw that was, and you're right, it was that 2016 season, but that started with the Thanksgiving tweet the Seahawks beat the Niners. And it's Richard Sherman eating the turkey at midfield.
Good call.
That's when it started.
Yeah.
I'm done with Jed York. I'm done with this team.
I'll never go to Levi's. They took the soul out of the 40. Don't the 49ers have like the highest average sales ticket?
Maybe.
It's up there. The team that travels on the road the most, them and the Eagles and the Cowboys, you win, they'll be back. People told me, and we were on the show, like, the Kings will never – the drought will continue as long as Vivek is the owner. It's like, they'll make the playoffs. They will. I don't know when they will.
Eventually,
I don't know when they will, but they'll make the playoffs and everybody will be happy.
Yeah.
Now, it was only the 1 year or whatever, and now they're back to where they're at.
Mm-hmm.
But once again, they'll get back to the playoffs.
A perfect,
it'll be fine.
Microcosm of this is the lead-up to the play-in. I see the chatty house. I see Twitter.
Mm-hmm.
I see Instagram. I poke around the internet and, I read things. Ear to the streets,
That's right.
So the amount of people that were fed up, frustrated, this team stinks, Monty's got to go, Doug's not the guy, everything's bad. I was at Golden 1 Center on Wednesday night.
Yeah.
I knew that place was rocking. I knew the lid was going to come off that place if they won that game.
Well, Devin Carter.
Well, that was the moment. It was when we
Devin peaked. Carter blew the roof off the building.
Yeah.
Crowd erupted.
That was it.
Towels waving, white shirts in the air. It was in the first quarter. You might have gone to the bathroom. It only happened for a brief moment.
Yeah, real quick. It was a great moment. It was a great moment.
Yeah, he went to one end of the court.
I don't remember that at all.
Yeah.
I don't remember that at all.
Went to one. It's literally the only highlight. Went to one end of the court, pumped up the crowd, came back. And that was it?
Look, I don't think I can show you.
Beat our ass after that.
I think I can show you.
That might have been when I was transitioning back to the behind the media.
It could have been that.
Here, Kyle, this was the moment. I got it. I got it for you right here.
You took video of it?
Well, it's on
I'm experiencing this for the first time.
It's on the YouTube.
The high point. All right, we got 23-22. Oh, that's right. Swing out Devin Carter.
And then look at this crowd.
In the corner, bang.
Look at this crowd. And then look at Devin go across. Look at him. People going crazy. Yeah.
That's right. I remember.
It was last time we cheered them.
That was the last. Who knew that would be the last cheer of the season?
That was the last.
But that's just it. But that's the 3 day version of what we're talking about. Mm-hmm. People were fed up and done, and then like, oh, there's a game to win. Oh, and Jaws hurt. Oh, we might make the play. All right,
but
we're in there. Let's go.
That's the thing, though. What Dave Chappelle tell us?
Well,
he told us what we already knew. Twitter is not real life.
Hmm.
Social media is not real life.
Well, that's right. I'm not disagreeing with that. But I do think that sentiment still, I think the people expressing those sentiments online and in the chatty house and on Twitter or whatever, I think that still matters, but they still are going to go. Everybody on Twitter who's mad wasn't not rooting for the Kings. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
You can be upset. You can be frustrated, but you're always going to go back to your favorite team because that's your favorite team. Unless they move.
I feel like the internet is just a place to complain. Like if you're like Jill. Jill's a perfect example. Jill will tell you when things are good. She will tell you when things are bad. Her emotions will reflect all of that.
Facts.
There are people who just go to the internet when they're angry.
Yes.
And it's like, I can't, like, it's like TC sometimes with the 49ers. Hell, not sometimes. All the,
hey, bro.
Like in all seriousness, are you a 49er fan or not? Mm-hmm. And it's like, TC treat us like the internet. He call us and complain about Kyle and Brock and what they need to do. And you know, they only won the game because this guy wasn't as big of an idiot as he normally is. And it's like, are you a fan or you aren't? Mm-hmm. I can't tell. Mm-hmm. And sometimes the internet is just used as a place like a dumping ground. Like, I hate what I love. I'm not going to tell you what I love.
Right.
Because I'm just going to experience the love. I'm going to cheer. Yeah. I'm going to enjoy it. But when I'm mad, that's when I'm going back to the internet.
And then the people, and I'm not judging anybody, but you just always have to express, right? Like, you can be mad at the 49, mad Saturday or mm-hmm. Friday or whenever with the Kings
Wednesday,
and sometimes I'll tweet what's on my mind. Sometimes they'll lose a game, and it's just,
yeah,
I don't have to tell everybody how upset I am.
The disappointment
sometimes
on your face
you tweet
the other night,
number one
tough.
Defense my ass.
I did it. I don't care. Whatever. I did it. Whatever. Sometimes you say, yeah, sometimes whatever. And then
it's the greatest tweet of all time.
And a bunch
time.
Of internet strangers come up to you after. It's like, hey, whatever. Whatever.
I know we got to go, but real quick.
It's the greatest 10 seconds of my life.
This is a much bigger thing.
Oh.
No.
Wow. Oh, that's dang. Tough. Wow. That's tough. That's tough.
If I had a nickel.
I'm about to say it's not think... a black.
I knew what it was. I knew what it was. I'm like Brian Windhorst right now. I knew what it was when I was about to say it.
Another false start. Nah, this is a bigger thing for a different show, but I think there's a we got a break.
Okay. Kyle tweeting it like a round of pocket washing, just quitting. Just
not quitting. I'm trying to get us out of it on time.
All right. Well, we'll come back. Best 10 seconds of your life here with D'Lo and Casey on Sacramento Sports Leader, ESPN 1320.